This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msbnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Jacob Hester joining us now on the Mick Ultra Organic Seltzer Hotline. Jacob, hope you're doing well. Let's go back to what we saw in the spring game in Baton Rouge. It's easy to go quarterback battle. I'm going to start with wide receiver. Of course, Kayshon Boutte is the guy everybody's talking about, expecting a big year. But there's maybe another wide receiver that really showed out on Saturday that I know Coach O and LSU fans were glad to see, and that was Jontre Kirkland. What was your evaluation of Jontre Kirkland? Can he be that impact guy that comes out and helps the Tigers in 2021?
Well, yeah, definitely Kayshon Boutte is going to be your number one receiver, but they're looking for that second option. They're looking for someone to step up, and they've got a bunch of young talent that they would expect to challenge for that number two spot, but it was the old head. It was the guy who's been here for a long time, the fifth-year senior, Jontre Kirkland, took over there in the spring football game. And, look, it is a spring football game, but this is a guy that has played for a long time at LSU. He's kind of gone back and forth both sides of the football. He's been a wildcat quarterback, the emergency quarterback as well, so he's kind of done a lot of different things in his LSU career. So he's definitely a guy that the staff trusts, the quarterbacks trust, and I know he came back this year. He used that extra year of eligibility to be able to come back to have this opportunity to be the number two weapon, because when you look on the offensive side of the football, that's what they're looking for. That's one of the main position battles. Who is the number two playmaker behind Kayshon Boutte? Because he's clearly the number one option. But as we all know, you've got to have multiple to succeed in this conference.
Jacob, I want to ask you about running back, because obviously you played the position, well, technically fullback, but you know about running back also.
Yeah, coming.
I'm not gonna sit here and tell you that I thought going into 2019 LSU was in great shape at tailback, and what do you know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire ends up in the first round. Are we gonna get back to seeing kind of the LSU running backs that we're used to seeing? I mean, when we think LSU tailbacks, we think game breaker. We think a guy that can take over a game, that can go win you a game. What's your overall assessment of that position coming out of the spring game?
I'll be honest with you. The position right now is a little worrisome. The numbers aren't great as far as what you had available in the spring. In the spring game itself, you only had two healthy guys. One was a walk-on, the other being Ty Davis Price, who's played a lot of football at LSU and had some successful moments. I mean, everybody remembers the run he had in the Florida game to kind of separate in 2019. But you're looking for someone to step up and take that position. John Emery's a guy that we didn't see in the spring game. He wore a gold jersey, the non-contact jersey, basically all of the spring. He has the tools to do it. I mean, look at what he did. You know, he had the carry against Alabama where he goes 70-plus yards last year. And you see it in flashes, but it's got to be more than flashes. It has to be consistent. And I'm okay with the running back by committee. LSU, in their history, has had a lot of success with running back by committee. But you also need someone to take over the RB1, saying, okay, I'm going to start the game. It's fine if you get carries behind me, but this is going to be my job to lose, and you haven't seen that yet. Now, they've got some young guys coming in. Armani Goodwin, obviously, right there, close to y'all from the state of Alabama, someone they got from Auburn extremely late after the coaching change. They love him. Corey Kiner's a guy coming down from Cincinnati. So you've got some young guys coming, but it's an extremely thin room, because even with that, you add in a Bradford who was kind of a pass-catching scat back from a year ago. You've got five backs, but the depth just isn't great right now, and you're having to count on young guys. Now, I do think that's a position that can translate from high school to the college ranks pretty fast, right? There's not this huge learning curve like if you're playing corner or quarterback. It's, you know, at the end of the day, in this day and age of college football, there's not a lot of protection responsibilities, right? It's either you can run the football or you can't. So you do have some young guys coming, but I'll be honest with you, it's a position that LSU needs to make sure they have short away, because right now it looks like something where you need some more. You need somebody to step up. And if you're going to go back to the 2019 offense, which is what they said they want to do, and we saw in the spring game, there was a lot of empty. I mean, a ton of empty. And Clyde Edwards-Helaire was so dynamic in that empty package, not just to be out there as window dressing. It wasn't just a situation where he was running hitches and go routes. He was involved in the route concepts. Going back to the Florida game again, he ran a two-man route combination with Ja'Marr Chase. Ja'Marr Chase goes down the sideline for a touchdown and put the game away. That was a real route combination, not just something because a running back was out there. So if you're going to do that, if that's who you want to be, which running back is able to do that? because right now that's not Ty Davis Price's game. Can John Emery be that guy? He has the skill set, but we also need to see him healthy and on the football field. So it's still a question. It didn't get answered in the spring, and it does sound crazy. You feel really good about the LSU quarterback room, and you have questions about the running back room. I didn't think we'd ever say that.
In regards to the other side of the ball, new defensive coordinator, but apparently a linebacker by the name of Jared Small really turned some heads. Talk about that side of the ball and how much that linebacker core has improved for this upcoming season in the fall.
Yeah, so the linebacker is kind of like running back. The numbers aren't great in the spring. Now you have some options that potentially could come and help you. You get a Mike Jones transferring from Clemson. He is not yet on campus, but he started games at Clemson. So he'll be in that battle. Micah Baskerville is the guy who started games at LSU. He's had some academic issues, so he is not on the football team right now. They hope to get him back this summer if he does things right in the classroom. That's two starter quality guys that you didn't have in the spring. So, you know, what you did have is a guy, Jared Small, as you mentioned. He's a former walk-on, earned a scholarship, and he's really been kind of one of the talks of spring practice. Blake Baker, the new linebackers coach, every time we've ever talked to him, that's one of the first names out of his mouth. And so I think he's earned himself some playing time. Do I think he's going to be the starting linebacker? No, but you'll definitely see him in the mix with a good spring. So you always like those stories of guys getting their opportunity and making the most out of it. But more so than anything, as far as that room, they need Damone Clark to get back to 2019 Damone Clark. And you don't forget how to play football. You don't forget how to be aggressive. So for me, when I watch him on 2020 and he was, you know, tape and he was passive and he wasn't the instinctive linebacker that we saw in 2019 on that championship team that was rushing the passer, that was really good in coverage, it tells me, you know, coaching had a lot to do with it. He wasn't put in a position to succeed. He was doing what he was taught in the meeting room. So you hope a new coaching staff can get a guy like that going because, you know, there's two or three names we could throw out there defensively, but he might be the most important name on defense.
Hanging out with Jacob Hester, at Jacob Hester, and the number 18 on Twitter on the McUltra Organic Seltzer Hotline. Staying on that side of the ball, you got a new defensive coordinator, Durante Jones, but kind of going back to something Coach O had said in an interview when he was meeting with the media and talked about past hires and talked about all the guys that he had brought in this year on his staff, and he interviewed every single one of them. I'm going to go back to Bo Pelini. Was that an arranged marriage? Was that something that was forced on Coach O just because of convenience and past relationships from his time there in Baton Rouge?
Well, it sounds like it, obviously, when you talk with Coach O. And, look, we all know, I think everybody on the outside thinks, well, the coach has the final say in all the hires when that's not the case. I mean, look, there's higher-ups than the head coach. And if they have someone in mind that they feel is the best for the job, then the head coach, you know, can have some say, and this is a national championship winning coach, but you're not going to have the final say in every decision, you know, for the most part. And, you know, Coach O wanted that say this year. So, you know, I guess he goes to administration and says, hey, look, this is what we need. I want to be in front of all these guys to know their mentality because, as we know, that just did not work out. And, you know, Bo Pelini, someone that had success here in the past, like you mentioned, so I'm sure that's in the back of people's minds, but, you know, it was a bad product. Not only was it a passive defense, it was one that the communication was just not there. I mean, when somebody went in motion, it felt like there was widespread panic amongst the defense by a simple motion. So, you know, Coach O, look, he understands that the expectation level at LSU's high. He understands that now with these hires, after Bo doesn't work out, that they're going to be under a microscope, and he wanted to be the one to make that call. So he goes out and he gets a very young staff, very diverse staff, that seems to be working so far in the early going.
All right, who's going to be the LSU quarterback when the season gets underway against UCLA?
All right, so, yeah, if you ask me that question today, and, gosh, I think that's the longest I've been in an interview without answering that question, so I appreciate delaying it a little bit there, Cole. But if I had to say, I'd say Max Johnson right now, and that's nothing against Miles Brennan because I think Miles is the only other quarterback in that conversation right now. And Miles went 5-6 months without doing anything because he had this unique injury that nobody really knew what was going on. He goes to all these specialists and he just has to sit. He has to just sit and wait it out. And that's a lot of time off the field. And you can see some of that, you know, when you go out to spring practice. And the way Max finished last season, I think he's got the leg up. He goes into the Swamp as a true freshman, beats the Gators, and then you come back and you outscore an Ole Miss football team that can score with anybody in the country. So obviously that part of it, but also what he can do in the pocket with his legs to buy extra time. If a play breaks down, he can get you 6 yards on a scramble. Right now, he looks like the better option for this offense. But Miles, I do think, is still in this competition. You know, there's still some TJ Finley that you'd like to see him progress in the spring game. Throws an interception into double coverage off his back foot. When you look right in front of him, there's a crosser who pitch and catch, catches the ball. He's going to turn up and get you 15, 17 yards, and you still try for the deep shot. Those are still things that TJ needs to learn from, a young player. I know he started last year, but still only a true sophomore. So I'd go Max and then Miles and then TJ at third.
In regards to all the coaching changes that took place in the offseason and then having an opportunity to work with the players in the spring, it's all indications that the players like these new additions and kind of maybe rejuvenated Coach O?
Yeah, I think so. I've had the chance to do a couple events with some of the current players, and that was really one of my main questions because, you know, last year there was a disconnect. I mean, I think anybody, even from the outside looking in, can tell that. And so when they made these hires, they had that in mind. And so far, it does seem like it's working. You've got a young staff. You've got staff that's been in college, been in the NFL, kind of been all over the place. So they've worked with different personalities. I'm a big fan of what they were able to do also in, you know, the defensive line coach, bringing in a longtime NFL vet who can, you know, gain the attention of the young defensive line from the get-go because he's been through that. They respect him knowing he was an NFL guy for a decade. You go get a Blake Baker as your linebacker coach who has called plays at Louisiana Tech, knows the state, knows the footprint in recruiting, also been the coordinator at the University of Miami. So on all three levels on defense, I think you get better. And then offensively, you bring in some young, energetic Jake Peach from the NFL. DJ Mangus has been here before. A lot of the players already knew him. He comes back from the NFL. So you did what you set out to do. You got younger. You got more diverse, which I think you – definitely needed to do, and so far it seems like it's been working.
Jacob, we got the NFL draft coming up next week, but Derek Stingley Jr., we know the hype has been there since he arrived on campus his freshman year in Baton Rouge. What can Derek Stingley do this season to improve his draft stock? Does he need to, or are we talking about him as the number one player taken in next year's draft?
No, I think if you talk to him or his family, they know that he needs to come out this year and put a full season of tape out there. He was a little banged up last year. There was a lot of good, but there were some things that Derek Stingley knows that he can improve on. I mean, he's a competitive guy, and that's why we see him as a true freshman, being All-American. But last year he was nicked up, missed the first game against Mississippi State, and LSU definitely missed him in that contest and others. And I think he knows he's got to go out there, put a full season of really good tape against SEC receivers out there. And yeah, if he does what we know he's capable of doing, he'll be the first defensive player off the board, in my opinion. I mean, he's that kind of talent. Just as a true freshman, you don't do the things that he was able to do without being that talented of a guy. So between Derek Stingley and Elias Ricks, you're talking about two of the highest graded corners, even from last year when, you know, Stingley would tell you it wasn't his best version of football. So the thing for them is, just the whole defense needs to help them out, because when you got two lockdown corners, you just really need to play well at the linebacker and the safety position in coverage. You can't have guys with missed assignments like we saw last year, because that's a luxury to have two shutdown guys that you can play any coverage with.
At Jacob Hester, the number 18 on Twitter, also SiriusXM host, SEC Radio as well. Jacob, we always appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, anytime. I'll just send Cole some running back highlight tape here in a little bit.
Blocking?
Yes.
Blocking people?
Put it out on Twitter. No.
With the ball. Hey, second team All-SEC. The only guy that beat me out was this guy named...
Well, there was only, three fullbacks? So, I mean,
sure,
you're going to get at least one or two of the All-SEC.
My tailback.
Oh, they must have all left early the year before. Is that Darren McFadden's year?
Yeah.
Is he that year?
Yeah. Cole, did you play deep snapper at all? I can't remember.
Yeah.
Not enough skill for that.
Kyle, thank you. We appreciate
all right, Cole,
it.
Have a good day.
All right. Jacob Hester joining us, the Mick Ultra Organic Seltzer Hotline. Zero sugar, zero carbs, only 80 calories. Try cucumber, lime, peach, pear, or spicy pineapple.
This is Three Man Front.